All right, last lesson of this series. Lesson number 8. Next week we get into what I actually prefer. I enjoy doing little interludes like this where we do topical, but my preference is book studies. I love going through books verse by verse, and next week I'm excited because this is one of those books in the Bible that I've wanted to cover for a number of years, but it's one of those books I've been a little apprehensive about. It's the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a wonderful book. And so I recommend maybe during this week you read through it. It's not terribly long. But there are verses in there that make you scratch your head. But that's okay, because, you know, when you do a book study, you get the book for its whole theme. And when you take those verses that maybe make you scratch your head and you realize the whole purpose of the book, all of a sudden it makes sense. You can't just pull one verse out of Ecclesiastes and run with it. You'll get into some trouble. All right? There's a theme of the book, and it's a wonderful book of the Bible written by Solomon, a book about wisdom. So next week we'll start Ecclesiastes, and we'll spend a few weeks there. But this morning we'll finish the Christian home. Family evenings with God. It's a good topic. Family evenings with God. And the introduction says, when you have an evening with God, you can lay your head on the pillow and get a good night's rest. Amen. And have a much better start for the next day. I mean, we would all agree that a bad night makes for a bad morning, which makes for a bad day. Wouldn't we all agree? It kind of has a ripple effect. A domino effect. You know, you have a bad night, maybe you didn't feel well, you didn't sleep well, you wake up not feeling well, and then you go into your day not feeling well. It doesn't help. And spiritually speaking, it's true. You know, you don't have a good evening spiritually, you wake up and you might not have a good start, and then your day gets affected. So, we're going to look at some verses this morning that actually that teach us an interesting principle. That in the Bible, the day starts in the evening. We're going to see that. We're going to look later on. It's interesting. It's very different than our way of thinking. All right? We always think, well, the day starts when the sun rises. But you and I know that even from the way we keep time. When will Monday begin? At 12 a.m. 12 a.m. It doesn't begin at, you know, 7 a.m. It actually technically begins in the nighttime at 12 a.m. So it's an interesting concept. We're going to look into that. But we're going to see a few things this morning. Things that we can have in the evening that will help us to have a better night and a better morning and hopefully a better day. Let's start with number one, evening faith. Evening faith. Let's close the day with faith. Right? Amen. It's a good way to have an evening where we think in the line of faith. Hebrews 12:2. Let's look there. We'll be jumping around this morning. Hebrews 12:2. You know, that's a good way to spend your evening, an evening filled with faith, instead of maybe the opposites of worrying and anxiety and whatever else we can struggle with in the evening. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, and if somebody would like to read that for us.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
And we're focusing on the first three words, and that's letter A. Faith is looking unto Jesus. That's really what faith is. I mean, you know, you can come up with all kinds of definitions, and everybody has their own personal definition of faith. And we know that, you know, faith is trust, and faith is believing, and faith is all of those things. But right here, faith is looking unto Jesus. That's faith, where you have your eyes on the Lord. Like Peter, when he asked the Lord, if it's you, Lord, let me walk on the water with you. As long as Peter was looking unto Jesus, having faith, what did Peter do? He walked on water. The moment Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. You see, faith is looking at Jesus, saying, I'm keeping my eyes on the Lord through this situation. And also letter B, faith reflects on the activity of the day. So in the evening, you look back at your day and you reflect on it. And you reflect on the activity of the day, believing that God's hand was in everything.
Amen.
You look back at the day and you realize, wow, you know, maybe there was this instance where God kept me safe from an accident. Or where maybe there was something else. So faith reflects on the activity of the day and says, wow, you know, God had His hand on this. And it also continues and it says, faith delivers all the day's activities to God, resting in the Lord and knowing that God is in control. That's faith. Knowing that God is in control. He's in control of your life. That's a wonderful thought. God is in control of your life. That's faith. You see, the opposite of faith is where you think everything's out of control. And you think, why is this all happening? And you don't feel like there's any control in your life. Listen, God is in control. Not only of this universe, but of our lives, that quote says. He's in control of our lives. He's in control of everything that happens to you. Amen. So, faith reflects. At the end of the day, evening faith, you look back and you reflect. You say, wow, God kept me safe during the day. He's in control. Letter C. There is no need for a believer to allow worry to keep them from sleep. Worry will keep you awake at night.
Amen.
And a believer doesn't need to fall victim to that. Look at Psalm 127. A believer does not need to fall victim to worry. Now, we all have concerns, right? We all have things that we're concerned about, but we shouldn't let those concerns become worries. A concern is one thing. Okay, there's a situation I'm concerned about, but God's in control. God's going to work it out, and I don't need to worry about it. So, look at Psalm 127, verse number 1 and 2, actually. I'll read it to you. Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. That's a good starting point. Again, faith. Who's really in control? Well, God is. You know, if God's not keeping a city safe, it says at the end of the verse, the watchman is awake for no good reason because you know, you can have all the guards you want, but if God's going to destroy a city or send judgment on a city, there's no stopping it, right? So unless the Lord's keeping you safe, you know, all your precautions won't really help. So the Lord is in control. Look at verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. This verse is in the context of worrying about things, where you're not sleeping like you ought. Look at the end of the verse. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Sleep is a gift from God.
Amen.
It really is. A good night's rest.
I was reading in the book of Job, that last paragraph when the Lord speaks to Job.
Yeah.
He shows us how he controls the universe.
Amen.
And you don't have to worry about anything.
That's amazing. Yeah. You know, Job went through the trials of life, but God said, hey, Job, you know, and you're the one that causes all these things to happen, you know? Are you the one that created this?
Sometimes we do to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we take a situation.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's wrong.
We have a way of magnifying problems sometimes. We have a way of creating problems that maybe don't even really exist. And our mind plays these games, and I think often Satan is behind it, and gets you worrying about things that really, sometimes, you don't have any control over. So there's no point in worrying about it. You can't change it. And, you know, maybe it's not even what you think it is. So, you know, listen, the Bible says, don't eat the bread of sorrows. You know, the worrying and the staying up late or the no sleeping. God will give you rest. So that's letter C. No need to allow worry to keep you up at night. Don't allow worries to keep you up at night. Because letter D, faith will bring you the peace of mind needed for a good night's rest. Faith takes away worry. And faith brings in peace of mind. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. great verse of the Bible, 2 Timothy 1:7. If you ever find yourself worrying or being anxious about certain things, let's have somebody read 2 Timothy 1:7.
For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind.
I love the last few words, of a sound mind. You see that? God will give you a sound mind if you ask Him for it, and if you give your burdens to Him, like 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. So whatever it is that's concerning you, we all have the cares of this world, we do. But cast them onto the Lord. Say, Lord, here's my problems. Help me with them. Lord, here's what I'm dealing with. I need your help. That's how you give yourself a peace of mind, by giving the problems to the Lord. If you try to carry them, you're going to fall. It's like carrying all kinds of loads on your back. You're going to stumble. Give them to the Lord. He'll give you peace of mind. And then lastly, about this evening faith, letter E. Faith believes that God will provide safety, like we already read, even in Psalm 127, that God will provide safety. You know, some people don't sleep at night because they're worried about their own safety. You know, they worry about, oh, what if something happens, or what if somebody breaks in my house, or what if, and they live in fear. Let's look at Psalm 4:8. God is the one that's going to keep you safe. All right? I'm not saying you shouldn't, you know, maybe you have a house alarm on your house. That's fine. Security alarm, you know. And lock your doors at night. Yeah, sure. Don't leave the doors unlocked. But who's really keeping you safe? The Lord is. Look at Psalm 4:8. Don't allow fear to keep you worrying and not sleeping. Look at verse 8. Somebody read Psalm 4:8, please. Great verse of the Bible. Lay me down in peace and sleep. Why? Well, because, Lord, you're the one that's keeping me safe. And this is the Psalm of David, a man of war, a man who knew what it was like to be in harm's way. You know, maybe he was out camping with his soldiers. But you know what? David said, I'm going to give myself a good night's rest. Even though I'm at war, I may be in the enemy's territory. You know, David's life was being hunted by Saul. But David said, I'm going to get myself a good night's sleep. You know why? God's keeping me safe. I don't have to stay up all night worrying if somebody's going to break in and get me, or this and that. He says, God will keep me safe. That's faith. Faith is trusting in the Lord, and evening faith is important. You don't want evening worries. It'll make you sick. Number two, evening gratitude. How about giving some thanks every night? Evening gratitude. Let's look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 4. Every day it should be a habit of ending the day by giving thanks to God for whatever has happened during that day. Psalm 100 verse 4, if somebody would like to read that. And that's a wonderful, you know, God says, hey, come into my presence with thanksgiving. Notice, not come into my presence with complainings. Right? That's what Israel did. Israel complained and murmured about this, that, and the other. God says, no, you come into my presence with thanksgiving. So, letter A, we need to stop each evening and thank God for seeing us through the day. Every day that God sees you through is a reason to give thanks. Because it's true, any number of things could have happened. On the road, in your home, at the store, wherever. Any number of things could happen anywhere, anytime. So we need to stop each evening and say, thank you, Lord, for seeing me through another day. You kept me safe.
Amen.
You know, many of us out on the roads a lot during the day, driving. And, you know, it's a dangerous thing. We need to thank the Lord for seeing us through. And the next phrase goes in with some things we've already mentioned, but here it goes with being thankful. Letter B, safety is of the Lord. That's a phrase from Proverbs 21:31. Safety is of the Lord, the Bible says. So we need to thank God for keeping us safe. Safety is of the Lord. So that's a reason to give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me safe. There's a lot of other things to be thankful for. Thank you, God, for providing for my needs through this day. You know, all of those things. Juanita?
the room, it's a front of the hand.
Amazing. Yep. And that's the safety of the Lord.
Yeah.
Bad situation, but good that you were kept safe.
That's why I like that song, Thank You, Lord.
Yes, it's a great one. Thank you, Lord.
Pretty well sums it up.
Yes. And I know I thank the Lord. Anytime I, you know, even my summer job, driving a bus full of kids. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe. You know, it's not something to take for granted. So safety's of the Lord. We need to, you know, and that's why it's a wise thing to pray for safety before you embark on a voyage. Lord, keep us safe.
Lord, I very rarely hear anybody say thank you for my eyes. I always thank God for that. In the morning I get up and I look at the sunset. I like to see all the colors in the sky because I'm always painting skies.
Right.
And, you know, scenery.
Sure.
I always told God, God, thank you so much for giving me eyes to see the beauty that's
it's wonderful. Something that we shouldn't take for granted. Yes, sir.
Sometimes when God's driving through me, sometimes so you give me a venture sometimes.
Pray. Now, letter C. How about letter C? Though a day may have held many trials, and we all have those bad days, right? Though a day may have held many trials, there is always something to be thankful for. If you just look for it. We just often rather look at the bad things, though. This, that, and the other thing happened. I can't believe it. How about, though, 1 Thessalonians 5:18? You know this verse. I could just read it to you. Where the Bible says, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you."
Amen.
So that means even in the bad days, give thanks. So evening gratitude, a great way to end the day. And that's letter D, the last one of this point, letter D. As a family, make it a habit to count your blessings each night.
Amen.
Another great hymn, count your blessings.
Amen.
You know, make it a habit as a family. You know, if there's little children involved in your home still, then, you know, try to get them to give thanks for something good that's happened during the day. Good thing to teach. Yes. And it will surprise you what God has done. Yeah, that's good. It's true. Very good. So, you know, it's a good habit. Say, hey, you know what, let's give thanks in the evening as we finish our day. So, evening faith, evening gratitude. Number three, evening Bible reading. How about that? That's a good way to end the day. End the day with some Bible reading. It's a good way to end the day. Now, you know, start the day with some Bible reading and end the day with some Bible reading. I think it's a great formula.
Amen.
Read a little bit in the morning, whatever you have time to do. Make time. And in the evening, before you go to bed.
Amen.
Instead of, you know, maybe falling asleep with the remote in your hand, fall asleep with the Bible in your hand. No? Might be a little better. It's a good way to end the day with some Bible reading. Look at Psalm 63, verse 6. A whole lot of people fall asleep with the remote in their hand. You know, they're watching a show and they conk out. But you know, it's good to end the day with some Bible. Psalm 63:6.
God takes me, I hope I go with the Bible in my hand.
Amen. Psalm 63:6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, in the evening hours. Psalm 63:6. All right? And it's a great way to remember at the end of the day by reading your Bible, remembering the Lord. Because, you know, during the day, there's so much that distracts us. And it's so easy by the end of the day. You know, maybe you started your day in the Bible. That's great. But so many different events happened, and you've been detoured, and you've been this and that. And by the end of the day, you're on a whole other field. It's good to get back to where you need to be by reading the Bible again.
Amen.
One hurricane Katrina came. I saw on the Today Show that this woman was looking for her sister. She was, like, lost. The roof had caved in on her house, and when they finally got the roof off the house, she was sitting in her rocking chair with her mind alone.
Wow.
She went to meet the Lord reading the Bible.
That's something. Amazing. That is amazing.
Amen.
Now, here's letter A. This is a good point. We don't need more information in this day and age. What we need is more truth.
Amen.
And here's why we say this. We don't need more information. We need more truth. Some folks substitute the Bible for the evening news. They, you know, I got to find out what happened. I need to know what's going on. Do you really? We're already bombarded with so much information. Do we really need more information? Do we really need more bad news from, you know, Channel 7? No, we need more good news from the Bible.
Amen.
We need more truth. All right, and from this book, one of the rules that this preacher that wrote the book about the Christian home there, he said he made a rule with his family, and their rule was in the evening they didn't watch the news, they didn't read news magazines or anything heavy like that. They always wanted to end the day on good thoughts with the Bible.
Amen.
And it's true. What you go to bed, you know, what you watch or listen to right before you go to bed affects your sleep. And, you know, it might affect your dreams. It might affect all these things. You want to end it on something good, positive, rather than watching some terrible story on the news about some terrible things that happened. You know, you could find out about that maybe during the day, but make it a habit. Say, you know what, right before bed, I'd rather spend my time right before bed. My last thoughts, I'd rather be on this book than on some other news channel. So that's a good thing. So that's letter A. We don't need more information. We need more truth. John 8:32. John chapter 8, verse 32. Again, another familiar verse. But we don't need more information. We are bombarded by information in this day and age. You know, I think of the olden days.
Amen.
You know, sometimes in those old days, something would happen. It'd take them like a week or two to find out. They're probably better off, you know. But nowadays, I mean, something happens and it's like breaking news all day long and immediately and just constantly bombarded with news. We need more truth is what we need. And John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And where is truth found? Look at John 17. You know this verse. John 17:17. This is where truth is found. Not on the news. John 17:17. How many times on the news do they maybe come out with a story and then like a few days later you find out, oh, well, it didn't really happen that way. It happened, you know, half the stuff isn't even true that we hear. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said.
Amen.
So what we need is more truth found in the Bible. And letter B, plan. Now, it says plan. It's a good idea to make plans to do this. Otherwise, it will never happen. Plan to read a few verses of the Bible together each night before sleep. That's a great idea.
Amen.
Read a few verses of the Bible together as a family. It's a great idea. And if you can't do it together, then at least do it on your own, individually. Plan to read a few verses of the Bible each night before sleep. So, evening Bible reading is a great way to end the day. Bible reading. Number four, evening fellowship. Remember what we said last week about not letting your house be a hotel where people just come to sleep, right? Some houses are like hotels where people just come to sleep. Have some fellowship. 1 John chapter 1 talks about fellowship. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, if somebody would like to read that. It starts off that which we have seen. 1 John 1:3.
That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Good. And then I'll read for you verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. See? John says, let's have fellowship together. But he says, by the way, though, our fellowship is in Christ. So if you want a fellowship with us, you got to be in Christ, right? That's what John says. But you know, family fellowship, letter A, you can't have fellowship unless, letter A, you spend time together talking. There's no fellowship without talking.
Right.
Listen, there's a time and place for everything. Okay? But don't get the idea that sitting down as a family, which is great, but sitting down as a family watching TV, that's not really fellowship. Because unless you're talking to each other, there's no fellowship.
Amen.
You might, yeah, you're all, and again, I'm not saying that there's no time for that. There is. That's fine. A time and a place for that. Maybe a good program, you know, you can watch together as a family and enjoy it together as a family. I'm not saying you can't do that. But I'm saying don't just do that and think, oh, well, we just had fellowship together. Well, fellowship requires talking, right? you know, when you spend time with a friend, unless you talk to one another, there's no real fellowship. Fellowship requires talking. A lot of families don't talk. They all live under the same roof, and they may all watch TV together, and they may all do certain things together, but they don't really talk to each other.
Amen.
Fellowship requires talking. Okay? And letter B, find out what you have in common. It's amazing. Sometimes people that live under the same roof, they're strangers to one another. Nobody knows anything about anybody. They all go in their own separate rooms, and, you know, like, you know, mom and dad are working, and then they come home, and then, you know, the children come home, and they go straight to their rooms, and you don't see them the whole evening. You got to spend time. You got to, don't be strangers living in the same house. Talk to each other. Find out what you have in common. Evening fellowship. It's a great way to end the day. You know, that may require that, yeah, you know what? We're going to turn the TV off. All right? For this, for 20 minutes. And talk. And find out how our days went. You know? And such an unimaginable concept, I'm sure, in many households. You know? Turn the TV off for 20 minutes. Can we do it? You know, but it'd be a great idea. Turn the TV off for 20 minutes, a half an hour. Sit in the living room together as a family and talk. And spend time together, finding out how your day went. Number five, evening testimony. You know, on Sunday nights we have testimony time. How about in your home? Family, evening, testimony time. Hey, does anybody have something good that happened today in your own home? You know, what? How was your day? Did you have any blessings? You know, that'd be a great thing. I'll read to you Psalm 119, verse number 62. So this is a good way to end the day. Have some testimony time. Now, do I do all these things in my home every night? No. So that's why I'm preaching to myself when I share this lesson too. I'm not going to stand up here and say that I do all seven of these things every night. No, but I wish I did. But I, you know, there's certain ones. I'll tell you one thing. In preparing this lesson, there's a few things that I have started to, I say, you know what, I need to work on one of these here and focus on that, you know, with my children. So let's just take a moment right here and say, not a one of us is going to ever be perfect in all seven of these areas where we're doing all. Don't get that idea. Don't leave here saying, oh man, I got this big chore list to try to do everything. Don't, you know, because then what happens is sometimes people, they try to do all of these things all at once and they get discouraged and you know what happens? They end up doing nothing. How about pick one of them or two and focus on just two? You know, all right, you know what, this week we're going to focus on number two, evening gratitude. And you know, next week we'll focus on number four or whatever. Pick. I don't want to make everybody leave here thinking, wow, does he do all seven of those things every night? No. None of us are perfect. Right? I'll be the first to say there's areas I need to work on. So we all, you know, pick a few. Okay? Because you'll get discouraged. And some folks who never had any devotional time, oh man, you mean I got to do all this? And then they try it for a week and they get frustrated and they quit and then they do nothing. That's not the answer. All right? Right, you could pick a certain night. Good. There's going
to
be nights that it's not possible. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you failed as a parent or a husband. Right? No. God knows our schedules. But we should make a point at least say, you know what, this is my goal. I want to at least, you know, even if it's 10 minutes. All right, kids, or all right, wife, husband, whatever. Let's sit down. Let's just read five verses and then talk about it for a few minutes. And then pray, and all right, good night. It does, you know, we're not talking about an hour-long service every night in your home. All right, doesn't, you know, don't get the wrong impression here. Emilio?
I believe you said that, and it happened to me this week when I was waiting on my kids.
Yeah.
I was listening, and then I didn't want to put the stairs up.
Right.
I'm going to take 5 minutes to talk.
Good.
And it was 20-minute time, so you talked within that 20 minutes.
Amen. Good. And that's good. That's an example right there. It could be spontaneous. It doesn't always have to be, okay, you know, 7:30 p.m., we got to, you know, it could be spontaneous. It could be in the van. It could be wherever. That's good. So, very good. Very good points. Let's just keep those things in mind. So, evening testimony. Psalm 119, verse 62, the Bible says this. At midnight, now again, this does not mean that you have to set your alarm clock for midnight and wake up. No, but the psalmist here says, you know, there were times where at midnight I will rise to give thee thanks because of thy righteous judgment. Maybe he couldn't sleep that night, so he says, you know what, I'm going to wake up and pray and thank the Lord and give testimony. So, letter A, give glory to God for all the good things he has done during the day.
Amen.
You know the old saying, give credit where credit is due? God deserves all the credit. That's where the credit is due, is God. Give credit, give glory to God. And then letter B, share with one another how God blessed you that day. And again, it could be brief. This is a good, you know, you say, hey kids, listen, I want to share with you a blessing that happened to me today. Whatever it may be. So that's number five. Number six, evening prayer. Evening prayer. Say, you know what, we're going to close the day with a prayer time. Again, it could be brief. Psalm 55:17, the Bible says this, evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Praying
Amen.
Throughout the day and at evening. Did you notice in Psalm 55:17 the first word that's mentioned? Where does the day begin in God's eyes? Evening. He starts with evening. I think that's interesting. All right, so letter A. Evening prayers will prepare us for the day to follow. So letter A, it will prepare us for the day to follow. Evening prayer. But it is true. In God's Bible, the days begin in the evening. If you look in Genesis 1, we don't have time to look there now, but if you look at Genesis chapter 1, the phrase is repeated over and over. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And the evening and the morning, it starts with the evening.
Amen.
Very interesting. So God puts the day in that order. The evening and the morning. That's how God puts it in order. So it's an interesting thought. That's why, again, it is so important how we spend our evening. Okay? So, evening prayer prepares us. And letter B, pray for each other. Pray for family members. And how about pray also for church members? Letter B, church members. How about pray for church members?
Amen.
Great idea. Great idea. Pray for church members. We can all do a little more of that, remembering each other, you know. Oh, yeah, those people I saw on Sunday, I need to pray for them. Oh, yeah, those people that I see on Sunday, pray for them throughout the week. It'd be a great idea. We have a way of forgetting.
We always
praise the Lord. You know, you see, hey, all right, great, see you next week. And then it's like they're gone from our mind the whole week. Oh, and then we meet again on Sunday. Oh, there you are again. I forgot all about you. Don't let it be that way. Prayer meeting on Wednesday. Thank you, Miss Sandy. You know, that's a great point. That is one of the big pluses of prayer meeting, so that we do see some of the church members on the middle of the week. We, you know, don't forget them as much. Yes, and we do pray. That goes right with this point. So Wednesday prayer meeting. Good plug right there from Miss Sandy. I agree with her. Number seven, lastly, number seven, evening meditation. No, this has nothing to do with yoga. All right. Evening meditation, meditation on God's Word is what we have to put in here. Psalm 1:2, I'll read, is a great verse about that tree planted by the rivers of water. Psalm 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditating on God's Word. Joshua 1:8 says that if you want to have good success, you have to meditate on God's Word if you want to be a successful Christian. You have to meditate on God's Word. So letter A, reading God's Word is the way we meditate on Him. That's how we meditate on God, is on His Word. So meditation in the Bible is not this, you know, clear your mind and dwell on nothingness or nonsense like that. No, no. God's Word says meditation is God's Word, memorizing the Bible, thinking about it. That's biblical meditation. And letter B, we must fill our minds with the Word of God. If you're going to meditate on it, you have to fill your mind with the Bible. You can't meditate on what's not there. Okay? You can't meditate on something if it's not there. So you got to fill your mind with the Word of God. So, these are seven things again. Pick a few. Work on one night. You know, on this night we're going to work on this one. On another night, you know, try different things. But the conclusion, and this concludes all our series here on the family, it would be a blessed thing if God's people all across this land would stop in the evening to meet God, meditate on His goodness, read His Word, and pray together. Can you imagine what would happen in this country if Christian families all across this country decided, hey, you know what, we're going to turn the TV off at such and such a time, and we're going to meet as a family and pray and read the Bible? Can you imagine how that would change our churches and homes?
Amen.
I think wonderful things would happen if we did that. So, family evenings with God. And next week we will start our Ecclesiastes.